It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Move over, Alexander Hamilton. Last week, U.S. Treasury Secretary Jack Lew said a woman will be featured on a redesigned $10 bill, but not until 2020, the 100th anniversary of the U.S. Constitution's 19th Amendment, which gave women the right to vote. Joining us to talk a little bit about the criteria for our nation's currency and the historical significance of American bills, Thomas Schwartz is in our Iowa City studio, director of the Herbert Hoover Presidential Library and Museum in West Branch. Thomas Schwartz, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Ben.
Also with us, Larry Adams, joining us by phone, curator at the Higgins Museum in Okoboji. Larry Adams, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for allowing me to come.
And I understand you have a special interest in the field of numismatics.
Yes.
That is the study or collection of coins, paper currency, and metals. We want to reach out to our listeners during the next few minutes. If you'd like to tell us who you would like to see featured on the $10 bill, I guess we're going to say which woman would you like to be featured, since that's already a given, according to U.S. Secretary, Treasury Secretary Jack Lew. Who would you like to see on the $10 bill in 2020? 1-866-780-9100, river to river at iowapublicradio.org. You can also put your answer, your suggestion, on Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page or tweet us at IPR Talk. Larry Adams, I wonder if you can fill us in a little bit more detail on what Jack Lew announced and why.
Well, this announcement came recently, but I had heard about it a couple of months ago, actually. And apparently, every few years, the government wants to redesign our currency, partly to increase the protection against counterfeiting. So that they do this from time to time, and they add anti-counterfeiting measures. But then from time to time, then they do just decide to change the portrait, and apparently Mr. Lew has decided to do this, and it'll be effective 2020.
Mm-hmm. And is Alexander Hamilton to be completely removed from the bill, or will he still be...
I think he'll be on the back somewhere. And as I understand, he's not going to be taken off completely.
Mm, okay.
Alexander Hamilton was our first Secretary of the Treasury.
Mm-hmm, okay.
He was very involved in, you know, getting our government on a financial base from day one when Washington was elected president.
Okay. So Alexander Hamilton present, perhaps on the back of the bill, perhaps a smaller visage there. Thomas Schwartz, tell us a little bit more about Alexander Hamilton. We all carry around these $10 bills, and I would guess that most of us, you know, going on the street couldn't name who was on the $10 bill. A lot of people, if you take a man or woman on the street, they would not name it. Fill us in.
Yeah.
Who is his founding father?
So he's kind of the illegitimate son, born in the Caribbean, comes to the United States, and newspaper editor. He is one of the three mystery writers that write the Federalist Papers, Publius. And essentially, Hamilton makes the argument against the Articles of Confederation and in support of a constitution to create a stronger central government. And of course, out of this comes the need to establish a firm financial basis. So what he does is he essentially, of the 13 colonies, he assumes the federal government, assumes all of their debts. So again, creditors become more satisfied that they will be repaid. It won't be up to the states anymore or these former colonies, but it'll be up to the federal government. And then he creates essentially pretty much the foundation of our modern financial system by creating a national bank making sure that the federal government is able to come up with a system in order to make to pay off its debts.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, a good face, a good figure to be on the face of our currency.
A pivotal figure in the creation of this nation, yes.
Okay. Let's go to our phones. Kathy is with us in Des Moines. Kathy, we asked who you'd like to see featured on the $10 bill come 2020. Do you have a vote?
I have a vote, but I want her to be on the 20 instead. And I think it's terrible that they gave women half of what they're worth, so to speak.
All right.
And I heard it's for security reasons that the 10 was the next one to be redesigned, yada, yada, yada. They have till 2020 to figure it out. So I still think it should be on the 20.
Well, so the 20, because it's worth more. That's the only reason? Or do you have a dislike of Andrew Jackson?
I really have nothing against Jackson. Actually, I would think the average American probably doesn't know anything about him, which is another point. So I would pick Eleanor Roosevelt. For the 20, for a couple reasons. Number one, she was a really groundbreaking figure. She really stuck her neck out for things that she believed in a time where women weren't taken seriously. So I think that's wonderful. Plus, she's in the recent history of our country. She's not so far back that people would have to, you know, look her up. She's still in the public consciousness somewhat. So mm-hmm. I think that's important, too. I really feel like she did so much in her lifetime that was against the grain. She really ran up against some powerful people in her lifetime, and I think she'd be a great representative.
Okay, Kathy, thank you for your input. I hear your passion. Maybe you want to get some online petition going. It sounds like you've got the drive to do it.
There was already one for the 20. That's the whole point.
Okay, Kathy, thank you very much. Calling from Des Moines. Fill us in on that, Larry Adams. So there is this dispute, $10, a $10 bill versus the $20 bill, and displacing Andrew Jackson instead?
Well, the $20 bill was redesigned more recently than the 10, as I recall. And but actually, I don't know whether the which is going to happen sooner. I know that if there's a change in our cabinet, there could even be a change in what the Secretary of the Treasury would want. Because by the time of 2020, we'll sure probably have a new Secretary of the Treasury.
Okay. Weigh in on Andrew Jackson here. You're aware of this controversy.
Yeah.
Thomas Schwartz, let me ask you, you're aware of this controversy. Andrew Jackson, is he as good a figure to have on our currency as Alexander Hamilton, or there's some drawbacks there?
So for purposes of full disclosure, people ought to know I wrote my dissertation on the foreign policy of Andrew Jackson. Jackson is an interesting figure because he's a controversial figure. He was very popular at the time when he defeated the British at the Battle of New Orleans at the end of the War of 1812. That received greater celebration nationally than the 4th of July, than Independence Day, because people saw Jackson's defeat of the British as kind of consolidating this national union. The Indian removal policies of Andrew Jackson, while today don't strike us at all as being very popular, something that we would endorse. Again, at the time, they were very popular with the American public. The one thing to be said for Andrew Jackson was that the modern political system that we deal with today with political parties, convention system, that was all devised with Andrew Jackson. Martin Van Buren, New York politician who was Jackson, became Jackson's second vice president, used Jackson's personal magnetism and popularity to create this party system structure underneath. And also to create the convention system in order to choose candidates. And that's pretty much what we still have today.
Mm. What is your view on Andrew Jackson, this debate, Larry Adams?
Well, I'm thinking that Andrew Jackson had opposed the central banking system. The first bank in the United States and second bank in the United States were both formed, and then during the Jackson administration, as I remember, they did not renew the charter, so it ended at that time.
Yeah, he destroyed Nicholas that. Spittle's Monster Bank.
And what happened after that? We ended up with
a recession, major recession in 1937.
And we had obsolete banknotes that came about, or broken banknotes, and they were some of them were called wildcat currency.
Yeah,
private banks printed their own money or had banknote companies print the money, and it was not spendable very much outside that local area, and it couldn't be spent all over the country like national banknotes eventually became part of.
He also, though, in the nullification crisis with South Carolina, when South Carolina first proposed to nullify federal laws and Jackson threatened to send troops in, and so South Carolina backed away. And oftentimes people are looking to kind of see the foreshadowing events for the Civil War, will use that as kind of one of the key points of a confrontation between states' rights and federal authority.
Thomas Schwartz with us of the Herbert Hoover Presidential Library and Museum in West Branch. Larry Adams of the Higgins Museum in Okoboji. We're jumping off from the announcement by Treasury Secretary Jack Lew that a woman will be featured on the redesigned $10 bill, not until 2020. And talking a little bit about why certain faces are chosen for our currency and when those faces get displaced. Marilyn from Eldora would also like to see Eleanor Roosevelt on the $10 bill. We're asking you, who would you like to see featured? You can put your suggestion on Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page or tweet us at IPR Talk. James is with us in Des Moines. Hi, James.
Yes. I think that we ought to be able to venerate the people that are on our currency. And while Jackson has some great accomplishments under his belt, including the opposition to nullification and his reorganization of the Spoils War, his treatment of the Cherokee Nation and his thumbing his nose at Chief Justice John Jay's order that the Cherokee Nation had, in fact, repurchased their land and were the rightful owners, and yet Jackson ordered their removal, does not warrant his remaining on the $20 bill. I don't carry $20 bills. They're not accepted on some Indian casinos. They're not used at some Indian casinos for that very reason. And so while all of our forefathers have clay feet of some sort or another, I think that Jackson's uniqueness of thumbing his nose at the one of the co-equal branches of government disqualifies him from remaining on the $20 bill.
James, thank you for your view from Des Moines. Historically, you're an Andrew Jackson expert. What he's saying is correct with his treatment of the American Indian?
Oh, sure, sure. And again, from a modern perspective, it is very distasteful and abhorrent. But from a 19th century perspective, the settlers, the white settlers in those areas wanted the Indian land. And it was a constant source of friction. And that was Jackson's solution to eliminate the friction. But, you know, it does certainly does not strike 21st sensibilities as being an acceptable solution.
Larry Adams, tell us quickly how the criteria for faces on our bills and coins have changed, because we know they're not all presidents. We have Benjamin Franklin on a $100 bill, for instance.
That's right, and he engraved some of the early he and also Paul Revere engraved some of the early continental currency that was issued during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a printer and a statesman. He certainly did a lot of things well, I would say, Benjamin Franklin. And even though he was not the president, he certainly did so much that it's very, very appropriate to have him a $100 bill. The way these things have evolved, I mean, I've got a couple of books in front of me here, and yes, Martha Washington was on the $1 silver certificate, and way back in 1890s, And then she was on the back of the educational note, too, with President Washington. The educational note has a picture of the Liberty instructing the youth. And but anyway, she's been on there twice. And actually, she was on stamps way back, too.
Yeah.
Way back. And even the presidential series of stamps in 1938, she was on the 1.5-cent stamp. So it's not unusual to have her on a stamp. And Mrs. Roosevelt was on a stamp, too, after she passed away.
A couple of issues here. First is this 19th century notion that was carried from the late 18th century of republicanism. And that is, republics don't venerate leaders, but rather all of the ancient republics in Rome, Greece and Rome fell because their leaders put their face on the coins and it gave them Caesar complexes, and that was undermined the republic. And so if you look at most of the currency and coinage throughout our history, it's allegorical. You have Liberty, Walking Liberty. You had the Mercury dimes, Indian head pennies, buffalo nickels. It wasn't until Theodore Roosevelt in 1909 for the centenary anniversary of Abraham Lincoln that he put Lincoln's head on the penny. And then that started carrying things forward where it was all right to put the face of dead leaders on, but typically these were people who were from the founding generation. You do have pictures when they tried to introduce the dollar coin. It was Sacagawea – or, well, it was Susan Anthony who was put on the dollar coin. And that was the Treasury's department to eliminate the dollar bills, which are more costly to produce. They don't last as long. That didn't go over well. The Sacagawea dollar coin is still being made. When they did the state quarters, Alabama put Helen Keller on theirs on the back design. The problem with currency is that it's very costly. So when you do these changes, there's a huge cost involved, and then it has to last for a while. Mm-hmm. With U.S. postage stamps, it's a much lower cost, and they can do celebrate the diversity of American history in a much easier way, and they have. Mm-hmm. You see women being celebrated on U.S. stamps for the past decades, and it's a bit tougher for currency simply because of the costs involved. And we know that the penny costs more than 1 cent to produce, and we know it costs more than 5 cents to produce a nickel.
Right, right. And calling to mind some European currency, modern-day currency, they go outside the area of politics. You mentioned Helen Keller. We have scientists and writers and so forth, great thinkers on it. And also, I believe, just structures. Architectural structures on bills as well. Jody is with us in Iowa City as we finish up this discussion about who is on our currency and who should be on our currency. Jody, what is your point today?
Yeah. Hold on just a sec.
We're on live radio, Jody. I don't know if we can hold on. Are you there?
All right. Yes, I'm here. I think that my kids have told me that there is a new $5 bill. It's called a 20, just because of inflation. So I believe that we should have a new bill called a $500 bill. And on the $500 bill should be Sandra Day O'Connor.
Why Sandra Day O'Connor?
To celebrate the first woman on the Supreme Court.
Okay. Very good, Jody. I hope we don't get the inflation that it seems to you seem to have in mind here as well. We're coming up to the end of this segment. I want to have each of you weigh in with, well, your guess. You get a guess or two about who do you think should or will be on the $10 bill. Larry Adams, what do you think? We've had two votes for Eleanor Roosevelt here. I've heard other names. Harriet Tubman.
I would probably vote for Eleanor Roosevelt.
Yeah.
There was a special about the Roosevelts on about a week ago, within the past week, and I'd seen it before. And it's when I saw that, it changed my opinion about what she had really done, because it really went into detail.
Mm-hmm. Thomas Schwartz?
Given that it's supposed to be around the anniversary of celebrating women's suffrage, Susan B. Anthony would be the appropriate figure for that.
She's already been on a coin. It's not in much in circulation anymore. Mostly just hoarders have it now, don't they? Collectors, I should say.
Well, yeah, I have mine.
But you can't find them anymore is what I want to say.
Well, you can find them. You can find anything online. And
yes, indeed. Okay. Susan B. Anthony. I've heard other suggestions. Amelia Earhart. Harriet Tubman.
Yeah. And those are all great suggestions. It really depends on what the you're planning to celebrate or commemorate with the individual. You know, we've seen the pattern with the folks that are on it now, the people from the founding generation largely, that kind of created the structure we're dealing with today. And so you know, if this is intended, again, to celebrate women's suffrage, then you'd want someone from the suffrage movement, you know, Katie B. Stanton or Susan B. Anthony.
Yeah. In fact, we did get a tweet to that effect, Katie B. Stanton, Elizabeth Katie Stanton and Susan B. Anthony are rather here. Any other controversies that you've run across, stories behind faces on currency, Larry Adams, that you find particularly interesting that you can tell us about in the minute remaining?
Well, I don't know if there's a lot of controversies, but some of the things I've observed, not too long after Garfield was assassinated, his portrait appeared on a $5 national banknote. And not long after McKinley was assassinated, he appeared on a $10 national banknote. So that's, in a way, kind of a memorial. But then Benjamin Harrison appeared on a $5 national banknote later on. And I could not really figure out why, although he just passed away before that came out. But he was certainly not a he didn't have anything outstanding in his administration.
Well, wasn't that also true of John Kennedy and Ike Eisenhower as well? Sort of memorials going on to the dime with Eisenhower. And Kennedy was on a half dollar.
Well, right? That's right. And there was an Eisenhower dollar.
Yeah.
And an Eisenhower commemorative dollar in his 100th anniversary.
Okay, very good. Thank you for lending us your expertise. Larry Adams, curator at the Higgins Museum in Okoboji. Thomas Schwartz, director of the Herbert Hoover Presidential Library and Museum in West Branch. Thomas Schwartz, Larry Adams, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll talk about stalking, harassment, domestic abuse. This after that recent shooting of an employee at the Iowa Children's Museum in Coralville. Also after the case of a murder-suicide involving an Urbandale couple where the murdered woman did not want to press charges because she feared for her life. That's our discussion when we come back. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.